Greetings, and I want to welcome you all to this live streaming wherever you are logging from or wherever you are joining us from. I want to thank God that you have made it today to join us in this live streaming where we talk about the Word of God. It is the Word of God which we need in these challenging times, in this difficult situation. We need our souls to be strengthened. We need our souls to be fed by the Word of God. So we thank God for such an opportunity, and that God give us a chance to share the Word of God, and for you that God give you an opportunity to hear the Word of God. As I always say, the Word of God says, men shall not live on bread alone, but by all the words which comes from the mouth of God. So it's important that we value this time where God give us this chance to hear the Word of God. Even in your own time, it's important that you spend some time reading the Scriptures, understanding what God wants you to do, and be strengthened in your faith, be strengthened in your spirit. So it's very important. So once again, I want to give you a warm welcome to this live streaming. And my name is Bishop Farai, and we will be talking about the Word of God probably in the next hour, where we just need to hear what God has in store for us, so that we will be able to hear and understand. But what is very important today, I want to talk about, before I go on to my word, I want us to understand one thing. See, the Bible says that the one who hears the Word of God and does not put the Word of God into practice, that person, the Bible actually says that it's like a foolish builder who built the house on the foundation of sand. Then heavy rains and heavy winds comes, and the house will fall a great fall. So the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God, we have to put it into practice somewhere. So the life we live, we have got challenges we face every day. But somewhere, somehow, when we face those challenges, that's where the Word of God has to work. But if we don't put that Word of God into practice, it's like our Christianity or our faith is just like, you know, a house which is just built on the foundation of nothing, basically, or a foundation of sand, and it's not strong enough. So we need to understand that this word is not only to hear and probably be able to talk about, oh, Sunday the Word of God was which was talked about is to do with this and that, but whereas we are not able to put the word into practice. But the Bible then says also, the one who hears the Word of God and put the Word of God into practice is like a wise builder who built his house on the foundation of rock. And when heavy rains and wind comes, that house will still stand. So what it means basically is that it is what we do with the Word which can build our faith. And whatever storm we can go through, but if we are able to put the Word of God into practice, it means that word will be like something which can actually help you in times of a storm, in times of where things are difficult. So it's very important we understand this. Now, here's the thing I want you to understand. Now, when people are going to school, they learn something, but they don't learn so that they can feed back to the teacher, or learn so that they can be able to write an exam and only pass. But they have to learn so that they understand how to conceptualize whatever it is that they have learned. So how they are able then to put that into practice, what they have learned. So here's the thing. Let's say a child is very good at mathematics, and this child is a very, maybe, let's say, the children who are still going to the very beginning of their school years. And they can count up to 20, up to 50. But if someone says, can you now go and take 20 stones outside, and they come with 18 or they come with 15, and they are not able to understand that, you know, if I count, even it's whatever measure I'm counting, but I can't actually go and put that into practice. It means that they are only learning the theory, but they are actually not able to put that into practice. So, in other words, one thing you need to understand, let's also assume that the doctors, the lawyers, all those people who are learning, they are learning maybe from a theory, but then they are going to put that into practice. So, lawyers learn so that they can then go and handle these very difficult cases. Doctors learn so that they are able then to go and treat even these difficult, you know, kind of diseases, because they've learned and they know how to do it. So my point and my what I want you to understand today is that you don't learn only to give back, you know, the theory, to say, okay, I've learned about this today, but not actually putting that into practice. So doctors go to school, to university, and whatever it is, so that they can learn then how to operate patients or how to treat patients. That's very important. They don't learn only to pass exam and that they have passed the exam. Okay. So same with Christians. When you learn something, you are supposed to learn how to put that into practice. Now, people go to school so they can learn, and then from there they can then learn to do something. So in other words, the word which we learn every day is not that to learn that, you know, the preacher was so entertaining, you know, the preacher was so whatever it is that the comment we can make. But it's actually to say, okay, so that word has been spoken. How does it relate to my life? How do I put this word into practice? What is God actually saying to me in practical terms? This word, what does it say to me? Now, so if a child is going to learn something from school and then be able to learn and implement what they have learned, if a lawyer is able to learn from university and able to implement what they have learned, if the doctor is able to learn and then, you know, start to treat patients, now, so how much more you as an individual, as a Christian, are you supposed to put the word of God into practice? Because God is the ultimate, he's the one who's above everything. Whatever he says, it's more important. So I want you, as you listen today, that you start to listen actively, and as you listen, you start to think about, how am I going to put this word into practice? That's what is very important. See, that's why, you know, we lose a lot of time, lose a lot of valuable time only listening, but actually not then putting that word into practice. So it's very important. I want you to understand, do not waste time only listening and only attending, but actually, you know, not benefiting from the word itself. God has got all the solutions you may need, but it's your choice whether you want to choose to use what God is giving you as a solution. So it's very important. So I want you to really understand this. It's very, very important that when you hear the word, you put it into practice. That's very important, because, like I said in the examples I have given, you know, students, they don't just learn at universities so that they can only write assignments and then they say they pass the assignment. But when they're actually not able to understand that whatever it is that they have written, they need also to be able to put it into practice. That's very, very important. So with Christians as well. So I see, why we see that people, they don't learn is that they always do the same thing. Why we see that people they don't learn is because, you know, they whatever it is, the word they have, they are not able to put it into practice. So that's very important, my brethren. As you listen to me today, I want you to understand this is very, very important, because that's what you then make you, you know, a Christian who God will accept as a Christian. Because only hearing the word is not going to help anything, but hearing and putting the word into practice, that's what it is which you need to be doing. Very, very important. So going back to onto our word and our general theme and our teaching throughout which we have been doing, if you are joining us today or just to remind what we are talking about, we are talking about how it is, how are we able to really worship God in the way which God wants. And remember, our teachings at the moment and throughout so far is actually coming from the book of Joshua chapter 24, when Joshua narrates how God has actually walked with the children of Israel and how he has fulfilled every promise he had made to them. And Joshua now said to them, people needed to place their loyalty to this God, because you know, he had realized that people, even along the journey, people were still holding on to their own gods with small g. And that's when he said that, you know, you need to pledge your loyalty. And he also said to himself, made a declaration that is for me and my household who shall worship this God. But he went on to say to the children of Israel that they needed to choose their God, the God they should worship. And the children of Israel actually said that they will worship this God they know, the God of Israel. But he said to them, you may not be able to worship this God. Why he said that? It was because, number one, he had realized that they were still holding on to other gods. They were still holding on to the other gods, which follows that they were not pledging their loyalty. So their loyalty was actually divided, because you cannot be loyal to two masters. You know, it's only one master. So he knew. So he said that you may not be able to worship this God. And later in the chapter 24 of Joshua, then Joshua actually said, you need to get rid of this God and pledge your loyalty towards God. So that's the basis of our teaching. And we were teaching, first of all, we're teaching that we need to understand this God. We need to know his power. We need to know the power dynamics, the power difference between ourselves and God, or the power dynamics. And we know that he is the Almighty God. And we needed to know that what is our role, what should we be doing. And what we found also was that then we need to be humble before God. And when we went on to teach also about being able to surrender, and we say that if you are not humble, it's very difficult for you to be able then to surrender before God. And we talked quite a lot of other scriptures. And recently we're talking about the theme which was for the youth, was talking about moving in the voice of God, because of the fact that, you know, God wants us to walk in the voice or voice of God. My sheep know my voice and I know them. That's what Jesus said, and that's what we were talking about. But so moving on, we're going to now to focus on one thing which Jesus said, because the issue is that sometimes we want to worship God, but we want to worship God in our terms. In other words, we want to give God our terms, what we think we need to be doing, rather than what he himself saying that we need to be doing. So today we're going to concentrate on what Jesus said, because the issue is, now when we want to worship God, it is a commitment which we are going to hear and understand in the scriptures. Now, so one of the things which I want us to focus on today is commitment. Now, we have to be committed to this God if we have made a choice, if we have chosen that we are going to worship this God. But it calls for something more than that. The life is full of choices. I mean, if I go to work, if I have got my money, if I have got everything I need, sometimes I don't feel the reason why I should be worshiping God. But actually, remember, the Bible says, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, I believe verse 18, the Bible says, remember, he is the one who gives the ability to become wealthy. So with even in God, people can have wealth. God can actually give wealth, and God can give that which we need as well. So my point is that it's a false perception that the thing that people who are only in need of financial things or things of material things are the ones who look for God. No, you see, let me say this to you. The Bible, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13, the Bible says, the conclusion of the matter is that men should worship God, because that's the whole reason why God created men. Very, very, very important. In fact, let us open that scripture. That's not my main scripture, but I'm just going to read so we understand. Now, see, if we are not able to, if you're not able to understand what God teaches us, then it's going to be difficult. But we need to understand. So let's open the Bible from the book of Ecclesiastes, and chapter 12 and verse 18. Yeah. Because if we are not able to understand why God has created us here on earth, it means that we are simply going to follow what we think. We're just going to follow what we think is right. So if we understand now why God has actually created us, then it means that we are going to follow what he actually has said to us. So Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, the Bible says, after all this, there is only one thing to say: have reverence for God and obey his commands, because this is all that human beings were created for. God is going to judge everything we do, whether good or bad, even things done in secret. But I want you to pay more attention to verse 13 only, which says, after all this, there is only one thing to say: have reverence for God and obey his commands, because this is all that human beings were created. This is all what human beings were created. So which means most of the time we start concentrating, on things, maybe what we think is right, but actually the Bible here says that that's all we were created by God. So your plan, your working, whatever it is you do, make sure it's got something to do, with worshiping God, because that's the whole reason why men were created by God. That's why you see sometimes, when we don't work according to God's plan, we get frustrated, we get all these disappointments, because only we are trying to work according to our own plan. So we have to understand that we are created that so that we can actually worship God and keep his commands. By the way, the book of Ecclesiastes, it features someone who had all the things we can think of. He had gold, he had cattle, he had many houses, he had a lot of material things. But he says it's all vanity. And then he said, that's why he says, in conclusion, men should have reverence for God. For that's the whole reason why men were created by God, or human beings were created by God. You see, so our priorities, we have to understand our priorities and know that which God has created us for. So now we need to know that. That's why we were talking about what is it that we need to do to be able to worship this God. I know many people sometimes they just come and hear the word and that's it. Next Sunday they come and hear the word. But you see, as you're going to hear today in the scriptures, we have got some work to do in the ministry of God, yourself as an individual. You see, so today my concentration today is about commitment. So we are going to What we said so far is that we need to be humble before God. For us to be humble before God, that will help us to be able, you know, to surrender before God, because we have to surrender before God. You know, Jesus himself says that, you know, be in me, then I in you. You see, so which means we have to surrender ourselves in Jesus. And then by so doing, Jesus will be in us. You see, very important. So, but that can only happen when we humble ourselves and let God take over. When we surrender ourselves before God and let God take over. But today now we're going to concentrate much on commitment. So for you to be committed to something, it means that you have to forgo something. For you to be committed in something, it means that you have to make some form of sacrifices. You have to lose something. You have to give in something. You have to prioritize what it is that you are being committed to. Now, which means other things may have to suffer because there is something which you are committed to. So today we're going to hear from Jesus what he says as part of our whole understanding of what we should be doing to be able to worship this God in the way which God wants. So we're going to read our scriptures today. We're going to read two main scriptures, but we're going to start from the book of Luke chapter 9. And we're going to start it from verse 57. So Luke chapter 9, verse 57, the Bible says, I'm reading the Good News. You can read whatever it is that you have there. Verse 57, the Bible says, as they went on their way, a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. 58, Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lie and rest. 59, he said to another man, follow me. But the man said, sir, first let me go and back and bury my father. Jesus answered, let the dead bury their own dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Someone else said, I will follow you, sir, but first let me go and say goodbye to my family. Jesus said to him, anyone who starts to plow and then keeps looking back is of no use in the kingdom of God. So this is what Jesus said. But what we want us to understand, what I want you to understand, is the interaction which Jesus is having with these people. First of all, as he's speaking to this man has made he said he wants to follow Jesus. You see, Jesus started and replied to this man and said to him that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lie and rest. So in other words, when you look at it from a different point of view, you understand that Jesus is actually saying to this person, yes, you said you want to follow me, but listen, I am not stationed in one place where you will just come and then maybe, be with me there. But I am someone who is going to be going different areas. And I don't have a station, and I don't have where to lie my head. So in other words, what he's saying that he is on a mission. So if you want to follow me, it means that you have to make some form of commitment. Now listen to this one. He said to another man, follow me, but the man said, let me go back and bury my father. Jesus answered, Let the dead bury their own dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God. I mean, this scripture may mean a lot of things, but the issue I want us to understand is that Jesus, what he was mentioning and what he meant was that if you want to follow me, and if you have made a commitment that you want to follow me and you want to be involved in me, there has to be choices to be made. There has to be commitments to be made. There has to be sacrifices to be made. You can't just follow me, because what he was actually saying was that, you know, there are priorities which have to be followed. And he knew people had other priorities. That's why he was saying to all these people, you know, the Son of Man does not have somewhere where he can put his head, meaning that he is just going everywhere. So are you going to make that commitment? Say, I'm going to bury my father first. No, go and proclaim the gospel. Are you going to make the commitment? You see, someone else said, that's verse 61 says, someone else said, I will follow you, sir, but let me go and say goodbye to my family. Now, so this is what I want us to concentrate on. And Jesus said to him, anyone who starts to plow and then keeps looking back is of no use to the kingdom of God. So that's where our main scripture and what we're going to talk about is based on. Now, Jesus used a very important illustration here. He said, let's just explore this. Jesus said to him, anyone who starts to plow, I don't know if you know how to plow, I've been involved in plowing before, but what Jesus is talking about is that there is someone who is starting to plow, and definitely it means that there is a commitment, and definitely it means that there is a field which needs to be plowed. And he then says, anyone who starts that process and then keeps looking back is of no use in the kingdom of God. So here, Jesus is talking about the field, and he's also talking about this in the same illustration. He's talking about the kingdom of God. But what we can understand here is that someone who has started plowing, it means they started working. And he then said, that person who has started plowing, if he starts to look back, if that person starts to look back, then they are not fit for the kingdom of God. So when you are plowing, my understanding, if I'm going to take this illustration which Jesus gave, if you are plowing, and when you are holding on to the plow, it means that you have to concentrate on what you're actually doing. Because if you don't do that, the very likelihood of you not making a straight line as you are plowing is going to be very high. Anyone who starts plowing and starts to look back, it means that the person is getting distracted. Anyone who starts plowing and starts to look back, it means that he has got some divided attention. Anyone who starts to plow and then look back, it means that the concentration is just not fully there. Anyone who starts to plow and then start to look back, it means that he's being attracted by other things, maybe more than what he's actually doing. And then Jesus says that that person is not fit. Now, it's not the field anymore, but that person is not fit for the kingdom of God. So, in other words, what Jesus is actually talking about here is actually talking about the kingdom of God. Now, it means that, remember, at the beginning, he gave an illustration that he himself, Jesus, does not have a place. The foxes and the other things have got holes to get into, but he does not have where to put his hand. And this person had said that he is eager, or he wants to follow him. It means when we start to follow Jesus, or when we want to worship this God, we need to understand what it means. Many people just jump in, and then 2 minutes, you know, they find they can't do it, or they want to do it in their own terms. Now, we have to understand that worshiping God is a commitment. So going back to our word, you need to understand that worshiping God is a commitment. Why is it important to understand it's a commitment? It means that when these distractions or when all these things which may come as obstacles, you understand that they are there already. You see, there is no way we can give an excuse that I can't worship God now because whatever, 1, 2, 3. We have to make a commitment. We have to make a commitment. You see, when God was speaking to Joshua, he said, be determined. And when we were exploring the word determination, what we found is that making a decision and not going back from that decision. So when we are worshiping God, when we have made a choice, when we want to follow God, when we are following Jesus, it's a real commitment. Now, the gospel I'm now teaching is different from the fact that, you know, one just get a scripture in the middle of the Bible and say, the scripture relates to me. You have to understand the context. You have to understand the context. God is saying within that context. You see, now when you read the Bible in the book of Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, the Bible says, if you faithfully keep if you hear my voice, if you obey my voice, faithfully keep the conditions of my covenant, among all other people, you'll be my treasured possession. But one may choose just to say that I am God's treasured possession. But the question I would ask, have you faithfully kept the terms of his covenant? Have you listened to his voice? You see, so every scripture, we have to understand scriptures from a context. You know, the one who is greater than one is me is greater than the one in the world. So if that word applies to everyone, then it means it doesn't make any sense, because it means that everyone can have Jesus in them. Everyone can have God in them. But you cannot have God in you if you are not following what he is actually saying. You see, so we have to understand that. But going back to our word now, so when Jesus gave the illustration of a plow, it means that there is work once you have committed to be following God, there is work involved. That's why there is an illustration of the field. The one who have started, you know, holding the plow and is plowing and keeps looking back is not fit, not to complete the field, is not fit, not to, you know, to complete plowing the field, but is not fit for the kingdom of God. So what actually Jesus is talking about is the kingdom of God, but it's given the illustration using what we can understand more. You see, at one point Jesus said, I cannot give you the examples of heaven because you will not understand them. So I'll give you the examples or the illustrations of the world because you understand. So he says, there is no one who holds the plow and keeps on looking back, and that person will be the fit for the kingdom of God. It means that you are not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, when you read all other translations, I've been reading other translations. I'm sure as you read also, your translations, it actually says, fit. So someone who's fit, it means that you pass the qualification. If you are not fit, it means that you have not passed the qualification. So anyone who holds the plow and keeps looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, so it's your choice now to start to think that according to what Jesus is saying, Where is your position? What's your position? Because at the end of the day, that's what it all boils down to, yourself as an individual. Remember I said from the beginning, to hear the word of God and to be able to put it into practice. That's what is very important. Other translation says, you know, the one who holds the plow and keeps on looking back is not suitable, or you know, it's not fit for the kingdom of God. So it means you have to be fit for the kingdom of God. Now, so in other words, what we are saying is that you have to be committed. Commitment is a key here. You have to be committed. To be committed to be doing something. To be committed to lose something. To be committed to endure something. To be committed to overcome something. To be committed to hold on to the truth. It is, you know, like worshiping God is not like a short-term thing where you can just come and worship. It's a long-term thing where you go through challenges, go through difficult situations, and still overcome those. So it's very, very important. So what I want us to now to do is to read another scripture as well. Now, what I want us to understand is that it's commitment. And many, many people and many, many Christians, they lack commitment into the kingdom, on the things of the kingdom of God. Many people, what they simply do is just come and hear what is being said and go back. So most of their commitment, most of their time, and most of what they are doing is centered about whatever it is happening in the world rather than in the kingdom of God. So when we, the truth of the matter is that, you know, when we accept Jesus, we have to be committed in his work. When we are committed to Jesus Christ, it means that it's not a passive thing which we just need to do, but actually it's something which we have to be involved in, and we have to be active in it. And I gave an example the other time where in the book of Luke, where Jesus had healed people, and Luke or John, I believe, but Jesus had healed people, and actually the people were actually now supporting, you know, the cause, supporting the work of God. So you have to understand yourself, what should I be doing in the kingdom of God? If you are still satisfied that I can sit back and be in my home and just listen, the worshiping God is not about listening, it's about taking active action and actually doing what God says we need to be doing. But anyway, we want to rush on to the other scripture now. We want to read the Bible from the book of same Luke. So Jesus now he explains exactly what needs to happen when we follow him. So that's Luke chapter 14 and verse 28. Anyway, let's start from verse 26. So verse 26 says, Luke chapter 14, verse 26, those who come to me cannot be my disciples unless they love me more than they love their father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and themselves as well. Listen, this is what the Bible is actually saying. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with your strength, as the Bible says. So anyway, let's continue. Verse 27 says, those who do not carry their own cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. So he made the declaration. So those who do not carry their own crosses and come after me cannot be my disciples. And 28, pay attention to this. If any one of you is planning to build a tower, you sit down first and work out what it will cost to see if you have enough money to finish the job. If you don't, you will not be able to finish the tower. After laying foundation, and all who see what happened will laugh at you. These men began to build but can't finish the job, they will say. Now, it's very important. It's very, very important. So, counting the cost of following Jesus, counting the cost of following God, you have to count the cost. Many people, they want to follow God, many people, they want to follow Jesus without counting a cost or without having any cost whatsoever. But the headline of this, see, the headline of this scripture is actually say, the cost of being a disciple. So it costs to be a disciple. It costs to be a disciple. And someone said a concept of saying that many people, they don't value things they are given for free. But the issue is that, you know, if Jesus died for us at the cross, but still there's a cost of following Jesus, you have to prioritize something, and you have to give time to something, to things of God. And you have to give it, or surrender certain things if you want to follow Jesus in the same, in the way he wants to be followed. Now, so, you see, what we read earlier was the fact that many people were giving excuses. I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this, I want to do that. And Jesus indicates here that, you know, there is a cost of following Jesus. And then he says, there's no one who builds, in fact, this, he says, my translation says a tower, but other translation says a house, whatever it is that you're reading there. But it's just there's a cost of building something. There is a cost. So that's why Jesus gave this example, illustration. There's a cost of following Jesus. You see, there's no one who starts to build a house without counting the cost. You see, the Bible says then you will not be able to finish the house and people will laugh at you. That's what the Bible says. So the commitment which is needed to follow Jesus or to be a child of God, that has to be valued. It's a commitment. It has to be a commitment. Many people, they don't have a commitment. Many people fail on this. Many people, they would rather just come and just hear what is being said and not get involved in it anyway. But it's a cost of following God. That's the scriptures. That's what the Bible says. You know, there is a cost of following God. So here it says, you have to count the cost. So in other words, what we are saying is that, you know, when you look at yourself as a person, even when Joshua was saying that you may not be able to worship this God, because he knew that these people have not counted the cost of following this God. You know, it didn't mean to them. It meant to them that they had to throw away their gods. They had to pledge their loyalty onto this God, which means that there is a pride. You know, they had to look at their priorities. If they wanted to really worship this God, they had to get rid of the other gods. See, it's a commitment. You know, they had to pledge their loyalty towards this God. It's a commitment. You see, so many people or Christians of today, we are weak in our spirit simply because we cannot make any commitment towards what God is actually telling us. But what we want is only to ask God for what we are looking for. So the Christianity of most Christians is based on their needs, based on what they are looking for, based on what they want, based on what they think, you know, is what they need. They don't pay more attention to the cost of following Jesus. So Jesus, in his word today, he is telling us today that there is a cost of following Jesus. What is that cost? You have to give in certain things. What is that cost? You have to make a commitment. What is that cost? You have to forgo certain priorities. What is that cost? You have to sacrifice certain things. You have to give in certain things to be able to follow this Jesus. So when your Christianity is all about not giving away anything, when I say giving away, I mean time. When I say giving away, I mean, you know, being at certain places where to worship God. When I'm saying, you know, giving something, I mean, you have to even love people, even who hate you, because that's what the Bible says. You see, there's a cost of following Jesus. There's a cost of following Jesus. It's very important. So, my brethren, today, I want us to understand the issue of commitment. It's very important. We have to be committed in whatever God is actually saying. So let's just read one more. 31 says, if a king goes out with 10,000 men to fight another king who comes against him with 20,000 men, he will sit down and first decide if he is strong enough to face the other king. Very straightforward, which is the example Jesus is actually giving, saying that if a man has got 10,000 men in his army, and he's going to fight someone who has got 20,000, he has to count the cost. Am I going to win this battle? So in other words, this is what you need to understand. In other words, what you yourself as a Christian need to say to yourself is that, you know, in my life, with all these things I love, am I able to give them in or to surrender them to start to follow God? Why I am saying that is because there are certain times you have to make sacrifices where you have to come or you have to worship God, and you have to be committed in what He is saying and giving in to what things you may be loving in the world, which kind of opposes what God actually says. So that those are the counting of the course which needs to happen. You see, so commitment is very, very important, and commitment is very, very key. And actually, that's what I see in my own experience, where people lack commitment in the things of God. People would rather see things from afar and just find out, you know, just what's happening while they are afar. They don't want to be involved. But remember what the Bible says. It says, whoever holds on to the plow and starts to look back, of which many people does that, where you are engaged and committed in things of God, but you start to look backwards and you start to be concentrating on other things which are happening elsewhere, and you start to lack the commitment of it. You see, the Bible is saying that you are not fit for the kingdom of God. I think it's time for you to review how you worship your God. That do you think that your God is just like someone who you just need when you are in certain situations? Is that some God the one who you just need when you know, when things are just not going right? Or God for you is that you worship Him whether things are hard, whether things are not hard, and you work for Him whether things are hard and or things are not hard? Remember what His answer, Jesus said, His answer when someone said he was going to bury his father, he said, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. So are you able to make that commitment where maybe God says, go and proclaim, or go and preach the word of God, or go and God gives you the same assignment? How are you going to take the assignment? You know, it involves giving in, it involves surrendering quite a lot of things. Are you prepared to do that? You see, that's the question. So we are answering the question that how can we worship this God? Because remember, Joshua had said to the children of Israel, although they had made a declaration that they will worship this God, but Joshua made a comment to them that you may not be able to worship this God, because he knew what in their hearts. He knew what they were actually doing. They were keeping other gods. Now, he then says to them, you have to give in, you have to get rid of these gods. Are you able to prioritize? Are you able to count the cost there? Where you have to give in this God, these gods you have, with a small g. Are you able to keep giving those gods or to throw away those gods? Are you able to pledge your loyalty towards God? Because many people have got, you know, where we align our loyalties. Remember here he says, if you love your father and your mother more than me, he says, you will not be fit to be my disciple. You see? And when this scripture is being said, people will start to say, oh, people will teach the wrong thing. No, that's what this scripture is actually saying. So, number one in your priority list should be God. I mean, he's the one who gives you the breath anyway. He's the one who will give you the life. So, you're going to have to be committed to him. So, that's my word today is really to for you to understand that there's a commitment. There is a big commitment in worshiping God. You know, if someone tells you that it's not a commitment, I tell you today that it is a commitment. Based on the scriptures we've just read, there is a commitment when we want to worship God. So when we say God is our Savior and God is the one we commit to, it means that we have to be committed to His work and we have to be committed to His word. And we have to also to understand that there's a work in the ministry of God. That's why the Bible says that if anyone starts to plow, it means plow, you're actually working. When someone starts to plow and they look back, they are not fit for the kingdom of God. My brethren, today, I want you to understand that you have to be committed. Because God wants, you know, people who work in His ministry. I know many people, they will be committed doing other things. But let me say to you that at one point, the Word of God says, you know, the field is plentiful, or the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, or the laborers are few. So there are many things to be done in the kingdom of God. There are many things to be done in the body of Christ, in the church of God. God wants us to do quite a lot of things in His ministry. I mean, including preaching, including, you know, getting other people to know Christ. Remember, when we were reading the Bible last week, we found out that Jesus actually said that there are many other people of this penfold, but who are not here yet. Meaning that there are people who are for the kingdom of God, but they have not known Christ yet. So it means that you and me, or those people who worship God, or the people who are Christians, they have to go and preach the word so that those who have not heard can also hear the word of God. So my word today is really about commitment. So Joshua, you know, wanted these people to be committed. So I am also saying to you that, you know, how are we going to worship this God? How can we worship this God? So part of what we are talking about is to have a commitment towards God. A commitment. So when you are committed to something, you give in your time. When you are committed to something, you give in even money. When you are committed to something, you give in, because there is a lot of things you need to be doing. You see, so my point is really just for you to understand that there is no worshiping God without commitment. Anyone who hold the plow and starts to look back, that person has been declared unfit for the kingdom of God. Anyone who hold on to the plow and start to concentrate on things which are backward, where he has left, has been declared unfit for the kingdom of God. My brethren, I want you to understand, time is not on our side. I want you to understand that, you know, when you hear this word, any word you hear in the scriptures, is for you to understand what does it mean in terms of practice, in my practice as a Christian. You see, very, very important. Commitment, I said, is very, very important. And sometimes not comfortable. And sometimes it's not easy. And sometimes it's things you usually have to make some sacrifices to be able to do that which God wants us to do. So that's really what I want us to look at in our walk as Christians, to see, you know, the level of commitment in our in our work as Christians. Wherever you go, whatever church you go, whatever it is, what are the commitments? What are the things need to be done there? Are you taking part? Do you take part or you just ignore? Whatever it is that you fellowship, you know, there are many things to be done there. Even maybe God give you like as an instruction or as a commitment you need to be doing. What do you spend some time also doing those things? You see, it's very important because that's why the Bible is teaching us about the plow and the field. It means that it's work. The plow and the field, it means it's work. There is no church, there's no work of God where we can just be passive. I mean, we can just be passive participants. But we're going to have to be active. We're going to have to be involved. And we're going to have to take part in what it is that God is actually saying to us. So commitment is one of the biggest things I need you to be looking at in your life as a Christian. That how committed are you as a person? How committed are you in the things of God? How committed are you in what God is actually instructing you to do? How committed are you in carrying out the task which God said you need to? So what is your concentration? Are you the one who holds the plow and looks back? Are you the one who, you know, get committed in things and after 5 minutes, you are leaving? Are you the person who get committed intermittently? Those are the questions you have to be answering yourself as an individual. But definitely what the Word of God today has said, whoever holds the plow and starts to look back, whoever starts getting into the work of God and working in God's kingdom and starting to look back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Why does Jesus use that explanation? I believe it's because when you start to look back, you are starting to give undivided attention. Yet the Word of God said that God is a jealous God. He does not accept any other rival. You see, so when you start to look back, it means that you are not going to produce good work because your attention is divided. You are not being committed. You are not giving in your whole self and your commitment to whatever it is that needs to be done. So whoever holds the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And sometimes, spiritually even, sometimes, you know, we start going back to the even physically, we start going back to our works which we used to do, which God does not want. You know, sometimes we are going back again in things which we surrendered before God. You see, my brethren, today is a day and it's a time. While there's still time to look at your life and to look at your commitment as a Christian. How committed are you? Are you the one who only watch from afar when things are happening? Are you one who does not want to be getting involved in anything? At the end of the day, what you need to understand is that God is looking for your commitment, and it's for yourself and for your relationship with your God. So that's my word really I have for you today, to understand that, you know, commitment is one of the very, very, very most important, one of the most important things for you to have and to understand that, you know, there has to be a cost in following what God says, or when following Jesus, there is a cost. You know, but it's something which we all can do, but we just need to put some effort, you see. So that's my word really. I wanted us to understand that a commitment is one of the things which you need to be understanding and knowing that, because even when the children of God were being taken from the land of captivity by God, the issue is, what you need to understand is that they had to be committed to this God. They had to be committed to what he was saying. They had to be committed to his instruction. They had to be committed. So commitment is a big thing in Christianity. I hope you have got something, and I hope you you're starting to look at your life maybe in a different way. And remember what I have said before, that you are not hearing this word only to say, oh, this word, whatever it is, you can comment about the word, but you are hearing this word and seeing starting to think about what should I put into practice based on this word. Understanding is not only understanding because you can give back the words I've said because you heard it me saying, but the understanding is about putting those things into practice, and then that's how the word can then help you. So my word today was really about commitment. The word of God has taught us today that no one is fit for the kingdom of God if they hold their plow and start to look back. Jesus invited a few people in the scriptures which you have just read, and people just gave their own excuses. As they gave their own excuses, Jesus just said to them, listen, there's no one who holds the plow and look back, and is fit for the kingdom of God. So, in other words, the kingdom of God, we have to give it all in. And the kingdom of God, we really have to be committed and give our effort and put our effort. Those who stand back and just watch from afar and not doing anything, I can assure you, there's something for you which the word of God is actually saying to you. You may not be fit for the kingdom of God because it's about working. It's about actually giving. It's about actually sacrificing your time. It's about actually being committed. That's what the word of God has taught us today. So we thank God for your listening, and may you commit, continue to share with friends, and also continue to invite your friends. And as we meet again next week, let us continue to share and the revelation of the word of God. And that we continue to be empowered, for when we are empowered, then we are able to overcome challenges and situations, and we continue to move throughout this journey as Christians, and to continue to do what is right in the kingdom of God and in our life as we still live. So that's my word today. May God bless you, and may we continue to pray for each other, that we continue to overcome challenges which we face every day. And I want also my last word to say, even in these challenging situations, let us continue to commit ourselves to God, because God has taken us this far, so which means He's got something to do in our life. So may God bless you, may we continue to be blessed, and may we continue to move in the way which God says we need to. Thank you very much for your listening. In the name of Jesus, Amen.